Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Max and friends, he says what he wants, ain't holding nothing back. Got the recipe for life, and he's inspiring. He's not scared of any topic, from sex style to gossip.
LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Welcome back to another Sunday night edition of Max and Friends. First and foremost, happy Memorial Day. I hope you're celebrating it wisely and having a good time this Memorial Day weekend. And I hope you know that Memorial Day weekend is more than just barbecues and going to the beach and vacations. Tonight, we're going to have a great show because Gordana Biernat is here. You know, what we say to ourselves, I think, creates a script. It creates our script. We have a script in life, and then we start saying words. And then we start either consciously creating or unconsciously creating. You know, we talk about it here all the time on Max and Friends. That's because this is the reality of life. Where we are right now is where we're supposed to be. And if you really think about where we are right now, and you think about what you've said about who you are and where you are and why you're there, you'll notice that the things you've said have come to pass. Maybe not in the way that you thought they would, or maybe not in the way that you planned they would, but we speak things into existence. We speak our reality, we create our reality, and words are pieces of creation. So what are you saying? Are you aware of what you're saying? You know, I constantly say, I've shifted from I can't wait to see you to I'm looking forward to seeing you. And terms like I am and what follows I am follows you. Have you ever gave that thought? You know, when we speak it, it becomes. I believe that whatever we say really does manifest. I've seen it happen in my own life. And I know my guest, who you all love, Gordana Biernat, sees it constantly in her life. Her book, hashtag Know the Truth, is something she spoke into existence. And it's now here. Other than that, I need to know what you all are doing this summer. Hashtag Max and Friends. Tweet me at Max Tucci. If it's your first time joining us, welcome to the show. And if you've been with me for the last 9 years, I appreciate you. And I'm so grateful that you're here. Go to latalkradio.com/max because there you'll find over 9 years of archives, 9 years of words. And actually, what is beautiful about the archives is you can see the shift of this show. And I think it's great that for myself, I can see my growth from the words that I used to say on Max and Friends to the words that I'm choosing to say now on Max and Friends. We have a choice to say words. And I think we need to think about the choice. And really, before we say the words, think about them. Think about them. So what are you thinking about tonight here on Max and Friends? I'm thinking about how grateful I am that you're joining us. I'm thinking about words that I'm going to use to really create something magical in my life. And I believe it in my heart that you have the same power to use your words to create your reality. So what words are you using? Well, enough about my words right now, because the words of Gordana Biernat inspire millions of people. And yesterday, Gordana and I had a great conversation, and I said that Gordana is a gift from the divine to the entire world. With every word she says, she unwraps more of the gift. So without any further ado, the gift I give on to you this Memorial weekend is my friend Gordana Biernat. Welcome back to Max and Friends.
Hi, Max. I so love talking to you. You're such a beautiful spirit. I really love the energy we are creating together.
Yes, it's a co-creation of words that manifest into beauty. And that's what all the shows do. You know, I think you have taught me that let's just have a conscious conversation. And I think that's the importance of life. We should go into everything consciously. Our conversation should be conscious. You know, there's nothing worse than idle chatter and boring chatter and gossip. And, you know, it's a low frequency. When you have a conscious conversation, there's a light in the room. It brings a spark into the room. And your tweets do that to so many people every day. So as part of people who are listening, I'm sure the question is, where do you come up with the words that you tweet? And do you speak them or do you just write them?
Well, I taste them. I taste them in my mouth. I never put out a tweet that I don't feel has the weight and consciousness in it. It needs to be conscious Because if you just habitually write stuff and put it out there, it won't make any impact because, I mean, nobody cares about words that don't carry anything with them. So I really, really work on every single tweet. I think about it. It starts off in my mind. I start off thinking about it, and then I start tasting it in my mouth. I speak it. And when I feel that it is finished, I put it out there. And I know that it's the clarity of the tweets that hit people in the heart. I know that because I feel it. When I feel it, that's when I can put it there. Otherwise, I don't do it. I have a lot of things written down which I don't put out because it's not clear enough. It has to be. The clarity is really important to me. And the clarity is when I have defined every single word I put out there, that's when it gives me clarity. But I need to define every word for me. And that's the energy I send out. So it takes work, but I love it. I really do love doing it. Well, I can't stop
obvious.
Doing it.
It's obvious, you know, and we have to do our work. That's the simplicity of life. The more work we do, the more we manifest. And I love what about Twitter is that we only have so many characters to make the clarity. And I think why yours are so impactful is because in such a small amount of characters, you have mastered really clarity into sentences and words, and you have, it's like the double impact. You think it, you speak it, you tweet it, and it's in such just a small amount of words. You know, Calvin Klein used to say less is more. And in those words that you say in those characters you're allowed to do on Twitter, it is speaking volumes in just a small sentence. So for you, the creation of words, and words are pieces of creation. What does that mean to you?
Well, it means that we create our reality with what we think, but our thoughts are based on words, actually. So every single word becomes a piece of the creation that comes out of us through our thoughts. And I feel that it is really important to understand how we use the language and how we use the words, because they do have an impact on our subconscious mind.
So let's teach people the difference between subconscious mind and conscious mind. What is a subconscious mind?
The subconscious mind is probably 90% of our reality. The conscious mind is the 10% we can see and touch and feel around us. For me, the subconscious mind is connected to all that is, the vastness of all that is. Everything that has existed, will exist, and exists now is in all that is. And our subconscious mind is the connection to that. And our conscious mind is the searchlight with which we look for stuff in this reality. So the conscious mind is what we know. The subconscious mind is what we don't know, but what actually impacts our life more than the things that we know. Our beliefs, for instance, are in our subconscious mind. We have them there, and they linger, and they do affect our creation of reality more than the things we think that we know. The subconscious beliefs, for instance, are the heaviest building blocks in our creation of reality.
So why is it that when, you know, if our thoughts are words, do we have to speak them in order for them to manifest?
I wouldn't say so, because words are actually only an expression of our thoughts. I think that we live in a reality which we have talked about many times on your shows, but we live in a reality where everything is energy. So if everything is energy, then we are actually creating our reality through frequencies. And words are one specific frequency, energy and frequency. Beliefs are a different kind of frequency and a different kind of energy. So if we're playing with energy all the time, then words are just one building block in the creation. Beliefs are a stronger building block. It's how we use the language that kind of shows to us what we truly believe. I'll give you an example. For instance, if you say, let's say that you say ordinary people are ignorant. So that sounds like, well, that's a description of reality. What it actually tells you is that you have a belief that there are people and then there are ordinary people. And it says, for instance, that there are ignorant people and there are smart people. It tells you very much about if you are a judgmental person or not. And the language can tell you that. You can hear it within the, it's in the language while you use the words. So every word has some kind of meaning attached to it. Every word is a symbol and you fill it with your own meaning, your own beliefs into that word. And if there are enough people that have the same beliefs about the same word, then you understand each other.
Now, you know, tone, I think, is also a big thing. So why is it that tone can describe, I think, even more than the words? You know, when someone says something, we say the stank. I think that's the same word you have in Sweden. But why is it that a tone can shift the energy? You know, I can say, I love you, and then in a joyful, smiling way, I love you. Or you can say, like, I love you. Like, you know there's a fakeness in the tone of that I love you. So how do we consciously use our tone to create more of beautiful living?
Well, it's all about being truthful. Your tone will say more about your true intention than the words you're using, because your tone is connected to your beliefs, and your beliefs are a specific frequency. The word is just a container of that frequency.
The word is a container of that frequency. I love
that. Yeah. So, I mean, you can say, I love you, and you can say, I love you.
Right, right.
And it's the same container. It's like having a glass, but you fill it with coffee or you fill it with water. It's still, it's the vibration of the belief that is contained in the word. That's what actually is the meaning of the word. So, for instance, for me, it's very hard when people ask me a question, do you believe in God, for instance? And I go, okay, so it sounds like a yes or no question, but it's not. Because you have to define believe and you have to define God, because we do not have the same content in those containers. For me, God is not the same thing as it is for you. For me, believing is not the same thing as it is for you. So in order for us to communicate and have the same frequency into these words, we need to understand each other on a much deeper level. You need to know who I am and how I see reality. And I need to know if you know that. So it's a much more complicated thing than just using the words.
So when we first meet someone and we have words, I mean, that's, we see if we're able to see, we can see someone's face, we can see their whole expression. With our intuition, we can feel a vibration, I think, and then words come out. So when we first meet someone, I think it's fascinating how, especially here in the States, we say, oh, what do you do? Oh, where do you work? Oh, what school do you go to? Or what school did you go to? So in a conversation, and I think this is that's the beauty of meeting new people, because I think when I meet someone new for the first time and they don't ask me what I do or what school I went to, we already have this like really this beautiful bond and this connection, because they're looking to validate who I am, not what I did or where I went. So how is the way, I think the question I'm trying to ask you is, what is a way to engage and initiate in conversation with new people that we meet?
Well, I never ask people, what do you do? Because I feel that I won't get the right answer. I usually ask them, what do you love to do? I need to insert the word love, or what do you desire in your life? But that's a hard thing, because most people don't know what they desire, or they don't want to talk about their desires, because there is some kind of complex energy going on with desires. So I usually ask them, what do you love to do? What are your passions in life? And then they go start talking about that, and I can see in their body language and the energy that comes forth who they actually are. It's a wordless thing.
What is it that you, Gordana, love to do? You know, here with Max and Friends, where there's a platform and we have so many people that are listening and they want to know us. So I think the best thing to do is let me be a voice for them and say, Gordana, what is it that you love to do?
Max, I love to have conscious conversations. I love to be present in the now. I love to enjoy my life in this now moment, every single piece of my life. I love to drink wine. I love to be with friends. I love to be with my family. I love so many things that it would take me a day to tell you. That's why we need to meet in real life,
right,
because
right.
we need so much time to tell each other what we love, because that is, I could go on forever talking yeah. about what I love.
Yeah, and that's what's yeah? fascinating to me is, like, with the conversation just now, saying what is it that you love to do, there's a mm-hmm. deeper awareness and there's a deeper involvement of actually caring about. That's, I think, the validation when you ask someone, what is it that you love? What are your passions? And there's mm-hmm. nothing worse when a conversation starts, when you meet someone for the first time, and they say mm-hmm. to me, for instance, it happened yesterday, oh, what is it that you do? And I just have to smile, because I'm like, you'll never understand yes. what I do, because I don't understand what I do. I am, you know? Yes. And it's like a turnoff for me. It literally, I feel like a shield that shuts me off from mm-hmm. them when they ask me what I did and what school I went to or where do I work. I think it's just, there's like, it's so basic and robotic. You know, we've built a system of patterns and pathology, and America especially, because in Italy, no one really asks what you do or where you went to school. And here mm-hmm. in the States, there's a curiosity in knowing that, because here it defines who you are. It's a robotic mm-hmm. system, I believe. So, mm-hmm. yeah. And for me, if you start a yep. conscious conversation with me that way, that's not a conscious conversation.
Yeah, but you know something, when you talk about that, I remember as a child, I really didn't like when the grown-ups came and asked me, what do you want to be when you grow up? Or who do you want to be when you grow up? And to me, that I got really scared, because am I not good enough the way I am? Do I have to become someone else? Have the grown-ups become someone else? Who are they? That's the questions that went on in my head. So I usually, because I was an honest child and I wanted to please people, so I would answer very truthfully, I don't know. But you know, when you say, I don't know, so many times, it becomes a mantra. And then when you're in your teens, yes, and then when you're a teenager, you don't know what you want to be, because you've said it so many times that you actually believe it. Mm-hmm. And you know that you have to become something else in order to be accepted by society, mm-hmm. which makes you confused. You don't know who you are, because what they want of you is, when you're a child, to put something into words, which is very hard to put into words. They are asking you, who are you? And as a child, you just are. You don't need to define it. You're doing it. Mm-hmm. Then the grown-ups want you to define who you are in words. And that makes it very, very hard, because you get these small boxes that says, he's a doctor, that's an artist, this is an engineer. And they say, which box do you want to fit in? And you don't want to fit in any box, because you like yourself the way you are.
All of so them.
Yes.
We have this conversation. I remember when you said, like, when you say to yeah. a child, I'm a pirate, they actually yes. believe they are. They yeah. can daydream swords and ships.
Yes.
So children, to me, are everything. A child yes. is everything. They could play doctor, they could play veterinarian, they could play yes. pirate, depending on the mood they're in. And to me, that's the beauty of life, is, you know, the simplicity of a child being everything at once and yet nothing at once. You know, I love the pretending of a child.
Yes, and I love the way they play with words, actually, because what they do with words is something that we as grown-ups don't know how to do. They take the word and they look at the word exactly for what it is. For instance, when you say, be a pirate, they see themselves as a pirate. As a grown-up, we don't do this. We fill this word with other things, with our own beliefs and the things that we think we're supposed to think. So there's a lot of things going on with children and words. I remember my son, when he was small, and he was speaking in Swedish, so it's going to be hard for me to translate it, but he used to play with words in such a way that made me happy. I could actually feel how he deconstructed the words and then put them together with other words to create new things, which I didn't see as a grown-up, because some words become so habitual in our lives that we don't even hear them. We just use them without even thinking about how we are using them. For instance, if I would say, because we started off talking about words, and instead of saying, I'm sick, mm-hmm. we could say, I'm not feeling well. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing, but your subconscious mind, the first thing, I'm sick, your subconscious mind hears the word sick, so it gives you sick. Mm-hmm. And if you say, I'm not feeling well, the key words are feeling well. Mm-hmm. It tells, okay, so you're not feeling well, but it's where you are usually well. Saying I'm sick, it's uncertain if you can return to the wellness again. I don't know if it makes sense to you, but it's a different energy in those things. It sounds the same. It sounds I'm sick, I'm not feeling well, but it's not the same thing, because what you're doing, you're giving fuel to your subconscious mind, which is then sending signals to your body. And the signals are different. One signal will tell you, yes, you are sick. The other one will say, you're unwell. You're not well now, but you're going to be well, because it's a deviation from wellness.
Mm. You know, and I love it, because I literally had this conversation yesterday with Keith. He was saying, like, oh, and I can't say, like, I can't say what he said, because then that would make me saying, you know, being him. And so he, at that moment, said, like, he wasn't feeling well, right? And I said, no, yeah. I said, no, you're fine. Like, don't even say that, because I know you. You're fine. It's like, oh, you might have like a disruption in your feeling at the moment, but it doesn't mean that you're ill. But you know what? Hold that thought, because we'll be right back. You're all listening to Max and Friends here tonight on LA Talk Radio. My guest is Gordana Bernat. Go find her on Twitter at MyPowerTalk. Her book is hashtag Know the Truth. And we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends.
LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Welcome back to the show. My guest, Gordana Bernat, you can find her on Twitter at MyPowerTalk. Her book is hashtag Know the Truth. Pre-order it now on all the sites, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you need to go to find the book, hashtag Know the Truth. I'm enjoying our conversation.
Words and slip of words. When we say something that we don't mean, do we really mean it? That's why we said it? Like the Freudian slip.
Well, maybe it's something that we have been thinking about a lot and it comes out as a slip. I don't know if I believe actually that it will always tell you the real truth behind what we think. I don't think it's that way. I think it's more complex than that. So I'm not actually a fan of the Freudian slip, because I don't think that it shows some kind of, you know, truth behind it all. It just shows that you have been thinking about something in a certain way at that moment.
Yeah,
that's how I feel.
Yeah. And it, like a moment, it's passing. Everything is motion, you know? I'm trying to figure out how many words do you think we say in a day? And if you do a Google search, they found that women speak an average of 20,000 words daily compared to only 7,000 words for men. This means that on an average, women talk nearly three times as much as men. Do you believe this to be true?
Yes, I do. I do believe that it is true, because there is something in this feminine energy that needs the language in order to establish relationships. Relationships are really important. They're important for women as well as men. But if we look at the feminine energy going on, the relationships are really, really important. So in order to establish the relationships, we need to talk a lot. So I feel that there is a discrepancy or a difference between men and women and how they use words. For instance, women, when they want to solve a problem, they will talk to each other much more, because we believe that a problem can be solved by talking about it, by externalizing the thoughts into words. The male principle is more about solving the problem in your head, which means that you are not verbalizing it. You solve the problem and then you come up with a solution. The solution is verbalized. And the female principle is more about talking about it, verbalizing the problem, and then using other people to solve the problem. So you need to verbalize the problem earlier. Men usually don't do that. So I think maybe there, the answer is there. In a way, in what way we solve problems. Mm-hmm. That's why when the female energy is more about talking and the masculine energy is more about solving it in the head and then talking about it. Mm-hmm.
Do you think it then goes to emotion versus logic?
Yes, absolutely. Because this is we live in a world of polarities. We have this black and white, plus and minus, feminine and masculine energy. And I'm not talking about men and women. I'm talking about feminine and masculine energy or principle. This is a big difference.
Define
because you
that.
Can be
define that because yeah, I think people well, there's a confusion in it. So define the energy yes. of feminine and masculine.
Well, the masculine principle is all about thought, logic, goal-oriented, focused, mm-hmm. linear.
And the female principle?
The feminine principle is more about emotion, creativity, relationships, wholeness, organic, and intuition. Mm-hmm. And as I said earlier, it's not about men and women. It's about those two, the masculine in every one of us. So there are women, for instance, that have more of the masculine principle in them, and there are men that have more and the feminine principle in them, or there are women that are very much feminine principle oriented, and there are men that are more masculine principle oriented. So there are all kinds of
energy
orientations, energies. Yes, exactly. There are all kinds of energies. But what we're basically talking about here is the polarity between masculine and feminine mm-hmm. energy and how we are dealing with it. And the society we live in is dominated by the masculine principle. So in order for us to balance ourselves, we need to balance it within each and every one of us so that we use both these energies and not allow just one energy to be dominant as it has been for centuries now in our Western society.
Yeah. Again, it's that pattern in pathology. There's been a pattern yes. of masculine energy. And, you know, I think yes. it's being disrupted in the sense where, for instance, Lithuania has a female president. You know, when something mm-hmm. like that, to me, when someone can disrupt this foundation and bring mm-hmm. in a new energy, it changes countries, it changes lives, it changes the moment. You know, there was an interesting, I just want to back up because when I said that there was that women speak an average of 20,000 words daily, that was done by University of California. So that's not something I made up, everyone. There's actually been, you know, there's been research done on that. But there's also been research that's done that says how many words are spoken in a lifetime. And they say that 860 million words certainly sounds like a lot of words. However, getting our heads around the number requires some perspective. In one lifetime, the average person speaks the equivalent of the entire text of the complete 20-volume Oxford English Dictionary more than 14 and a half times. So with all of these words that we say, it just sounds exhausting in itself that we've said 860 million words. So why is it important that we have to choose our words wisely?
Because words create alchemical fireworks in your body. Mm-hmm. That's one thing. It affects your being, your physical being, because words are energy, as we said, and the way you use them, if you use words in a negative way, it will affect you in a negative way physically. Then it affects the reality outside of you because it is vibrations. You're sending out vibrations, which will affect other people in your frequency, in your range of frequency. So it's very important how we use words and what kind of energy we are sending to each other through words. Because they create with our words and the way we understand each other and the way we speak to each other, we co-create a reality. Mm-hmm. So we have to become more mindful of what we are putting into these containers of the words, the symbols that we are using in order to exchange energies.
So how is it that you're aware of how you speak to yourself? How do you become aware in your thoughts and your words?
You start by looking at the sentences you are saying and ask yourself, is this a positive sentence or is this a negative thing? You have to pause. You have to stop. You have to stop speaking habitually. Taste the words. As I said before, I put out a tweet, I taste the word. And if it's not what I want it to be, I don't use it. Because they are a carrier of energy, and you are the one putting that energy into that word. So you need to stop and think about, what am I saying to myself?
Have you always done that?
No, I haven't.
When did you start doing that?
I think I started doing that more consciously when my son was born. Because when I started speaking to him, that's when it became more obvious to me that I'm using words in a way that I'm not, I actually don't want to use them that way. I'm just doing it because my mother did it or someone else did it. And I was taught to do that. For instance, telling my son, don't do this. And then I go, why am I saying this to him? Why shouldn't he be doing these things?
By you just saying that, don't do that, it gave me like a vibration of like literally it turned me off just by saying that.
Yes.
Because telling someone not to do something, I think, short circuits them from experiencing everything life has to offer. But now when you started becoming aware of how you spoke to yourself and your child, your son, did you see an immediate shift in your life change, or was there a progress of change? How did you feel something when you started being aware of how you spoke?
I felt a shift of energy within me. It's like a click within me. Every time I did it, I felt some kind of click inside of me telling me, okay, you're in the right direction. Because it feels good. To say, don't do that, doesn't feel good. To ask, why do you want to do it that way, is a much more curious, and it gave me more positive feelings in my body. So I started to listen to my body. How do I feel when I speak? And it came, I didn't do it consciously. I think it came out of love to him, because I could see how don't do that affected him. What happened with it, he showed me in his body, because he was a stubborn child. He did not want to do what I told him to do. He did what he wanted to do, which
like
is a very, very good. Yes. And that's the most beautiful thing you can do as a child to your parent, and parents should be grateful for that, because they are actually showing you there's something here you need to change. You need to look at this and start changing things, because children won't do things that are awful because they're mean. They're curious. And if you're curious, then it means that there's something to explore there. Why not explore it with them? So that was my take on that. I started to look how he feels when I talk to him. And his way of playing with words actually woke me up to this, that you can use the words in different ways and it can give you different energy back. So
it
all started off with him.
How did it wake you up?
I became more conscious of what I was doing to myself subconsciously. I have this friend, and I really do love her, and we've known each other for ages, but she has had this problem of weight all her life. She's trying to lose weight. Since I can remember, she has been trying to lose weight. And the other day, I had a keynote speech in my hometown, and she was there, and then afterwards, she wanted to take a selfie together with me. And she was taking several selfies, and she was cutting her face off, and mine, only my face was there, only half of her face. And I was going, why are you doing this? What kind of selfie is this? Why? And she says, I'm too big for a selfie. And I'm going, what are you saying to yourself? It's a selfie. It's our faces. How can your face be bigger than anything else? I mean, it's just the face. And I told her, you have to listen to yourself. What are you saying to yourself? When you say, I'm too big for a selfie, this is a program. You're sending it to your subconscious mind, which says, okay, you're too big. And it continues to create a reality where you are going to be too big for your own reality. And I gave her aha moment there, because she understood that what she's doing, she's prolonging this painful relationship she has with weight and her body by continuously telling herself that she's too big. I mean, you can't be too big for a selfie. It's crazy. I mean, a selfie where only our faces are to be seen. And still, she told herself that she was too big for a selfie, physically too big for a selfie. Mm-hmm. So it's a program. When you become aware of it, you can start changing it. You can say, I need to lose some weight. Mm-hmm. Lose weight are the keywords. And your subconscious mind will pick up on that and will say, lose weight. All right. So we're looking for things that can help you lose weight. Mm-hmm. When you say, I'm too big, it looks for
you focus
things.
On that. Right. Yes. That becomes the focus. And I think even more, you know, I call it micromanaging the moment and mm-hmm. micromanaging the words. When we think, because for instance, I used to not like to go to the gym, right? Because I would say, I hate going to the gym. I don't like the gym. Oh, mm-hmm. the gym, right? Like these are things that we've constructed in our head. And then one morning I woke up and the paradigm shift, because the gym was no longer the issue. It was me saying to myself, I am fit. Mm-hmm. I am healthy. I love to run at the gym. So just by saying these things, I could go to the gym now and I would get on the treadmill 2 hours later, which used to be a struggle. I was like, I'm fit. I'm healthy. I'm at the gym. I love the gym. And that became my mantra. And now I can go every morning and not have an issue with it. So I think even by saying, forget the losing of the weight and forget that I'm too big, believe it in yourself that you are fit, because you are there. You just have layers that we have to get rid of. You know, and by saying, I am fit, it starts to program your mind to believing you are. And then that actually, your mind snaps into action and believes you are, and then can make, you know, if you can hold it in your mind, you can hold it in your hand. I love when Bob Proctor says that.
Yeah, that is so true. At the same time, I feel that, for instance, if you don't believe the affirmation you're using, then it's going to be counterproductive. Mm-hmm. Let's say that you say to yourself, I'm a millionaire, and you know that you're not. So it creates a confusing
a delusion
frequency. It creates a confusing frequency within you, which will leave you in the same state as you were before. What you can do is you can say, I feel abundant today. Which is much easier to do.
You know, what's you know what's interesting? You remember The Secret? The Secret was all about, you know, I am this, I am that. I met people who said, I have a Bentley or I have a, you know, and they like would never get one. And they were like, why don't I have one? And then recently I've been seeing on Facebook that it's now the law of abundance. And from the creators of The Secret, I believe, I've read this, is that I am abundant, or the law of abundance. So how do we shift the I am a millionaire to I am abundant and make that part of our conscious thinking? How do we do that? Because we're trained, you know, a lot of people are trained by The Secret to think that if you think this, you are that. So how do we put that into motion?
This is exactly what we're talking about here. You have to understand that the words you're using are creating a specific frequency within you. And the words you're using, I'm not saying just the words you say, but the words you think, because you're always talking either to yourself or to someone else, or someone's talking to you. So words are really a key thing. And to understand what kind of frequency the words are bringing within you or creating within you, because the law of attraction talks about attracting things to you. I don't believe that that's the way we create this reality. I believe that we are creating this reality by corresponding frequencies, which means that the frequency you are emanating is the frequency you are getting back. And this frequency is going through you. You are creating your reality through you, not to you. You are not attracting things to you. You are creating through you. And that's the difference. When you understand, if you say something and it feels uncomfortable, then uncomfortable is the frequency that you are creating. And that is what is going to be reflected back to you. For instance, saying I'm a millionaire and it feels uncomfortable because it's not true, then uncomfortable is what you get back. If you say I feel abundant today, then you start looking for what can give me abundance today. You go out in the woods and you see the trees and you're abundant. You feel abundant. You feel the joy of being able to enjoy this. And that creates a different kind of frequency, which will be reflected back to you.
So it's limitless.
Yes. And it's all about understanding that you're not attracting this reality to you. You are creating it through you. So that's why you need to be it before you can receive it. That's why you need to be it before you can see it in front of you. You're the one creating it in the first place. It starts off with you. You're not looking for something somewhere in the darkness. You're creating it through you. It's the light that comes through you. And where you point that light, that is what you will see. You're not attracting anything. You're just, it's like, I would say it's like synchronicity. Because what you feel here, no matter how far away in all that is, it will show up at that instant moment because it's a corresponding frequency to your frequency. And it will lock itself to you and present itself as a 3D reality in your reality.
You know, it's interesting when you said the millionaire. To me, that's limiting yourself because there's a possibility to be a billionaire, you know, and there's thing, and I think these are how words, you know, how they can short circuit our living and our creation and our abundance. But what I find interesting is, you know, when we say, like, if we think about someone, right, and then that person calls us, right? What is it that you feel is the reasoning for that?
I feel that it is the synchronicity. Actually, this is how the universe works. Only when this happens, it feels like magic. And it's like it allows us a glimpse into the magical aspect of quantum physics. Because it is, the universe is always creating that everything is where it is at the exact time where it's supposed to be. Otherwise, everything would fall apart. That's the glue that it keeps everything together. For me, synchronicity is the underlying pattern of our reality because everything is at the right place in exactly the right time.
Always. You know, that's what I always say. Where we are right now is exactly where we're supposed to be.
Exactly. You know, and that's why I love you.
And when I live in that, because that's my truth, like really nothing bothers me because I know that where I am, whether, you know, other people look at it as good or bad or indifferent, for me, I just celebrate it because I'm in this moment of where I'm supposed to be and realizing that nothing is here to harm me. You know, we have this misconception that the world might be against us or people might be against us. No, everything is just this beautiful, fluid moment that we're going through. You know, we're going through it. So to be in that moment, for instance, you know, it's interesting when you can see tensions start to arise, and then when words can then become something of harm, where we harm one another because we're uncomfortable with where we are at that moment. Instead of being comfortable, I'm here right now. You know, it's just what it is. And then we feel that attack. And then when we feel that attack, that's when I think we unconsciously start speaking and just saying things that we don't mean because we're trying to defend ourselves. So why is it that we set that up?
I think that for me, it is when you become unconscious of who you truly are, that's when the attack, as you said, is possible. It's like, I feel that anger and the negative feelings we allow to rise up that way and allow them to soar or to go through us it's like demons. I call them demons in my book. Because they behave that way. They possess you. They tell you things that are not true. They will put smoke screens, allow you to see things that are not there. It will affect your perception of reality. It will narrow down your frequency and lock you into a frequency where you do not wish to be. And since you are creating your reality with the frequency you are emanating, then it becomes an unconscious creation in your reality because it is not you creating it. It is the anger, the energy that you have allowed through you. And the key word here is that you are allowing it. You can always give yourself time and say, no, this is not what I want. Because we all know, I mean, anger, it can be bittersweet. It can almost feel nice to allow it through you because it gives you a rush, but you can say no to that. You can simply say, no, I don't want this feeling because it will hurt someone else. I am allowing it through me. We are all co-creators of this reality. And I see every being as some kind of a some kind of a tunnel where the creation is coming into this reality through it. So, which means that I am responsible for what frequency I am allowing into this world, because my frequency will be a co-creation into this world. It will co-create a reality, and the frequency I am emanating is my responsibility to see to you that it is the highest possible frequency I can find if I want this world to be a beautiful place. So that's why I say it's all our responsibility to stop and to think before we allow it through us. And anger, the first thing it comes out as is words. So you have to become more conscious of what words am I using, and am I harming other people? Even though I'm angry, I need some time to
recalculate.
Yes, yes. And then I can go back and start over again.
Right. It's easier to start over again than to
than
to just lash out. You know, that's why just breathe in that moment. And I think that's what happens. We stop breathing in anger. And when we stop breathing, we get lack of oxygen. And then we get lack of oxygen, we do stupid things.
Yes, that's true. Right? That's true.
Just breathe, collect the oxygen, let that blood flow, and let it flow, and let the breath just carry you through the moment.
That's so true. That's true, because the breathing calms you down. And when you calm down, your frequency goes higher.
Yeah.
Which means that you see more of the reality. Because what anger does is it narrows down your perception. Always. Mm.
Anger narrows down your perception. This is a good conversation. Who knew we would talk about anger?
No.
And be joyful about talking about it, right?
Yes. Yes, but I mean...
Because that's the reality. Just be joyful.
I wanted to ask you, because when you asked the question, you said... you said something that I was thinking about, how you feel when the tension is rising, how you can feel it.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that is a subtle thing. Most people never stop to see it. I have started to play with that in my reality much more now, because I can feel the tension. Let's say that my husband and I, we're arguing about something, and I can almost feel when he locks himself into one belief system and I lock myself into another belief system, and then the tension starts. I can physically feel it in my body. I don't know if, is that the same thing for you? Can you feel it in your
absolutely.
Body when it starts?
Because
how does that feel?
It depends on the situation, but I think what it is that there's that frequency that changes. You know, if we have a connection and we are losing, like we had earlier in the show, we were losing the connection, right? And then I was like, oh shit, I feel anxious, you know, because I know that we have to do the show, record the show. So it's the frequency that disrupts the connection. And when we have this disruption in our connection of we're not on the same harmony wavelength right now, or there's a different point of view or something. For me, I think the feeling is the disruption of the frequency. And I think then that we start focusing more on the disruption of the frequency than on what is this conversation really about anyway? It shifts us. And that's why if you take a moment and a breath and you just smile at it, you know, like for me, like I said, if there's something, so I'll go boil a pot of tea. Because that frequency alone, just that whistling of the teapot, shifts and changes the frequency and the energy in the room that you no longer remember what there was a disruption about, because now there was a louder disruption through a noise from this teapot. So I don't know if it makes sense or not, but for me, I live it every day, so it makes sense in my reality. Yeah. But
of
I think that that's what it is. It's a disruption of frequency.
That's true. And I feel, for instance, in my body, physically, I can feel when the frequency is being lowered, because my body reacts, my heart starts beating faster as if it wants me to raise my frequency. It's like, you need to raise your frequency. It starts beating faster.
Yeah.
Yes, to compensate.
Yeah.
And I feel heat from within, kind of.
See, that's interesting. For me, I feel exhausted. Like,
yes.
I get all of a sudden, I'm like ready. And then I'm like, there's just like, it's like when you take the sail out of a wind. The wind out of a sail.
Yeah.
When you take the wind out of a sail, same thing. It's when you, and it is the same thing, you know. Yeah. And it's just like, okay, you're just, for me, when that happens, and that's why I seldom fight, because I just get tired and I'm like, okay, I don't want to even go there, you know. So for me, I don't try to like push up the frequency. I bow out. I'm done. And it takes me, you know, sometimes it takes me a couple of minutes. Sometimes it could take me a day or two to fill myself back up from that disruption in the frequency.
Well, this is the funny thing that you should say that, because I have this, and I have been doing this since I can remember. I didn't know that what I was doing as a child was raising my frequency. But for instance, if I were to be in a fight with my brother, and I feel how the energy is going low when we were children, I would start thinking, so if one of us died, is this what I want to be the last thing we say to each other? So I put myself in an awful frequency, and then I could appreciate the other frequency. And I've done this for so long that I've made an art out of this. So for instance, when I have an argument with my husband and I feel that, oh my God, he doesn't understand what I'm saying, this is going the wrong direction, we're going to be angry with each other, I just pause. I push the pause button. I go out and I start thinking about that. What would happen if he would disappear from my life? How would I feel? And I feel the sadness, and then I feel how much he means to me. Right. And then I start loving him again, and
you
don't care. Yes. And then I go back in, and he says, "You're crazy. You can't do this. I mean, you can't switch like that." Yes, you can.
Yes, you can.
Yes, you can.
And here's that's the beauty what I'm of doing. It. Technology does it all the time. When we're on a roadmap, right, with navigation, and we make the wrong turn, we get so frustrated, and our GPS is like recalculating, and then it just puts us on a new route, right?
Yes.
And that's the simplicity of it, is that all we have to do when we're in these moments that we're uncomfortable is say, recalculate, you know, and if technology can do it, so can we, you know? And that's, I love, like, to me, that's the perfect example, because I love when we're driving, and, you know, directions between men and women have always been a thing that, you know, like, we smile about it, right?
Yes.
And so for us, that's when it gets back to where we are right now is where we're supposed to be. There's no such thing as being lost. So we just have to recalculate. And when we recalculate, we shift the energy.
Exactly. It's all about having your focus on the goal.
Yeah.
Because if your goal is, for instance, to win an argument, then you will go into this and fight
until you
die.
Ugly.
Yes. But if your goal is to have a loving relationship, then you can find ways to find that goal. So it's all about knowing what your goal is, to stop and think, what is the goal? Because when you get angry, you forget about the goal. You go very, very short-term things going on. I have to win this. This is my argument.
Right.
That is what becomes important. And it's not. In the long run, it's not, because when the anger is gone, you see that it's not what it was supposed to be. And you can feel guilt and a lot of other feelings that come after that anger. Instead, I feel that just snap out of it. That's it.
Mm-hmm. And you know, it's beautiful too, when you stop and say, what are the intentions of this conversation? Or what are the intentions of this argument? Because the reality is that it was just a fleeting moment. You know, and the intentions, I think, for a lot of humans, for humanity, is to really love one another. And when we get into these, you know, shifts of frequency and energy, we miss out loving one another.
Yeah. You know, I ask myself a question, which is also a thing that I've been doing a lot lately. When I'm in a conversation with someone and I feel that it is changing, shifting, the energy is not where I want it to be, and then I go, my ego starts, you know, wants me to be heard and everything, I stop and I ask myself, what am I adding to this situation? Because when I start asking myself, what am I adding to this situation, and I'm honest with the answer, I will find my true self. My ego will not be able to take over.
It's being responsible for your work.
Yes, if my goal with this conversation is to actually create something, then I need to ask myself, what am I adding to this creation? Otherwise, it becomes an unconscious creation where things I'm adding are actually not what I wanted to add from the beginning. So it's all about responsibility, being present and catching yourself the way you use your words and asking yourself, where does this come from? What am I filling these words with? Is it my ego or my heart that is filling the words?
So, well, you know, speaking of words, I don't know how many we said during this show, but we have to wrap this show up because that's how life works. You know, right when we get to the goal, this was the goal. And I always believe that what we have said is what we were supposed to say. So, you know, just because time has run out doesn't mean that what we were supposed to say didn't happen, because I'm a true believer in that. So before I let you go, I want you to say something to our listeners that will bring them into this week, into just having a loving week. What do you say onto our listeners to inspire them?
Be conscious of what you say to people. Tell them you love them.
It's that simple, right? It's that simple.
That's simple. I think that simplicity is always the best. I mean, I could say a lot of things, but this is actually...
No, that's your tweet. That's how you tweet.
To say. Yes, to say. Tell people you love them. If you love them, just say it and see what happens. That is magical words.
That is magical words. And I'm going to tell everyone to fill everything you do this week with love. Fill it with love and you'll see the shift. So I love you all for tuning in to Max and Friends. My guest, Gordana Biernat, her book, hashtag Know the Truth. Can we pre-order the book now?
Yes, you can. All online stores.
There you go.
Bookstores, yes.
So go pre-order the book, hashtag Know the Truth. And follow Gordana, if you don't already, at My Power Talk. And engage with Gordana, because she engages back with you. So, you know, there's a co-creation in her tweets. And co-create this week. And tweet me at Max Tucci. I've got to wrap this up. We've got to go. I love you all for tuning in. Max and Friends is here every Sunday night on LA Talk Radio. For more information, go to latalkradio.com/Max. If you want to email me, max@maxtucci.com. And until we speak again, I love you. Good night and good karma, and take life to the max. I'm your host, Max Tucci, for Max and Friends. Good night, Gordana.
Night.